You need to get the lead out. Lead foot, right? You need to get the lead out. I was thinking about that this morning. I don't ever want to get the lead out. The Spirit led. I want to take you to Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. Today we're doing baptisms, and this is the story of Jesus' baptism. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. A voice from heaven says, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." That is the end of chapter 3. And moving into chapter 4, chapter 4, verse 1. "And Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." In the Message, reads like this: "Next, Jesus was taken into the wild by the Spirit for the test." You can leave that up there. Jesus was taken into the wild by the Spirit for the test. Jesus was led from the moment of baptism, as soon as he came up out of the water. He was led into the wilderness. Shouldn't there have been a reception or a party or something, right? Shouldn't have gone to somebody's house for food or something? Baptized, comes up, has the favor of God, led into the wilderness. But the real key is this. What was the motivator? Spirit. Led by the Spirit. When Mello came over here and asked me, and others, the whole prompting. Listen, all the six people that got baptized today, you ready? I don't know if this is going to be news for you or not, but you didn't start that conversation. This whole baptism concept, this whole baptism story, it didn't start with you. The Bible tells us in John 6 that no one comes to the Father. No one, me, you, nobody, comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws them. It is always the Spirit that starts it off. Always. When you're sitting around, you're thinking, man, my life is rough, or this or that, or oh, like you look to Jesus and saw him first, and you saw a church, and you're the one that's the motive force behind the movement toward God. I just got to tell you that the Bible doesn't support that. I know how it feels. I get it. But the Bible doesn't support that the idea started with me. So possibly not as dramatic as Mello coming over and I'm just seeing her, hey, how you doing, and give her a hug. She says, I feel like I need to be baptized. And then we sit down and have a quick conversation and talk through what, why, now, what's going on, what are you feeling, right? Maybe not as dramatic, but no less spiritual. Whether it's Elena or any of the half dozen people that were baptized today, God started that story. I want you to see this, because what started the story needs to be what continues to lead the story. I said it a couple of times. This is not the end game. This is not it. It's not the end, nor is it the beginning. Baptism is an expression of something that's already been happening in our life. But it is not the stop. It is not the, in education, we would call it the terminal degree. It's not where you end up and stop. It is a part of the Spirit-led process. And I want you to see, of all people, Jesus was baptized and the Spirit led him. If we were guessing, I'm pretty sure none of us, maybe a few, but I don't think any of us would say on a multiple choice, let's see, wilderness to be tempted. That's just counterintuitive to us. Like, that just doesn't make sense to us. But you ready for this? the celebration, and people hit their feet every time somebody came up out of the water, right? We love that. We celebrate that. Angels rejoice in heaven. Like, there's a lot of praising going on just today from this. A lot of praising. There is a next step. And that step is led by the Spirit, just like this step is led by the Spirit. And it may be a season that isn't very sexy and isn't very shiny and doesn't sparkle a lot, but that's okay. Jesus is sent into the wilderness by himself for the test. A lot of times we think, some of the translations say Jesus was sent in there to be tempted of the devil. And when you look on your phone, if you have YouVersion, you know, the Bible, something like that, it's going to have a little bubble thing. And you hit the bubble, it'll say, also tested. A lot of times we think when we go into something and we're tempted, that it's got to do with brokenness, and it's got to do with sin, and it's got to do with, I shouldn't speed, or whatever, you know, whatever the sin is. I shouldn't do whatever that is, right? We think it has to do with that. This is a test. And tests prepare us. The reason you have a test in school is to prove to you and everyone else that you will be capable to get out there and do the work. You have a handle on it. You see, Jesus was his beloved son, well pleased. Essentially, we would say, you're my boy, I am proud of you. The Spirit is involved, and it leads him to the test. But you don't want to try to opt out of the test. The goal here is not opt out of the test. The goal here is walk hand in hand with the Spirit. Now, it is not every person that gets baptized that I stand here and hold their hand. But I couldn't have not held Elena's hand. She was like, it was a lock. And I was so proud to stand here and hold her hand. And so grateful to be the pastor that gets to stand here and hold her hand. And so grateful to be that for her. That's the Spirit for us. The Spirit leading us into the test. My mind went to several characters in the Scripture. Moses stands before the Red Sea, extends the rod, the waters part. It is dramatic. It is unbelievable. They walk across. He extends again, and the waters come back, and Pharaoh's armies. Oh my, unbelievable stuff. Incredible. But it didn't start there. Moses was leading the Israelites into the desert. But Moses, for the first 40 years of his life, grew up in Pharaoh's house as Pharaoh's grandson. Moses grew up as Pharaoh's grandson. Everything was at his fingertips. He didn't even turn down his own bed, right? He had everything, never missed a meal, and those meals were amazing. That was his life. You know what he knew about leading people in the desert? Nada. He knew nothing. And at 40 years old, he flees a situation and goes into the desert. Anybody want to guess how many years he was in the desert? 40 years in the desert. Preparing him, although he didn't know it, for 40 years in the wilderness of leading God's people. You see, God knows things that we need prepared for, and he puts us through the school in order to lead, in order to have that moment where you see the burning bush, where you have, at 80 years old, you go to Pharaoh and you speak to the king of the earth. The king of the earth, you speak to Pharaoh and lead people. My thought went to Elijah and Elisha, those two guys. Elijah was the first prophet, and Elisha was the guy he walked by and invited him into his ministry. Do you know what Elisha was doing? Do you know what the mentee was doing when the mentor showed up? He was mowing grass for his parents. That's what we would say at my house. What he was doing was he had 12 team of oxen. And 12 team of oxen showed that you were from a rich family, a wealthy family. Elisha came from a wealthy family, 12 team of oxen. And the Bible says that Elisha was in the harness with the 12th ox. 23 oxen, and he's in the 12th team. What does that show to you? Well, he's plowing for his mom and daddy. Because he said when Elijah called him, he said, hey, man, I'm cool to go with you. Can I kiss my parents goodbye? Like he was out on the South 40 plowing. He's working. Serving. Where's my son? Mowing grass for his parents. He's serving. He's working. He's just being where he needs to be. And then the mantle hits him. And he goes with Elijah. Now, down the road, Elisha's going to look at someone and say, that pot of oil will never run out. You're going to have a son. And then that son dies. And he, through the Lord, brings that kid back to life. That happens later. Just like Moses standing in front of the Red Sea, it happens later. But early in the story, it's a desert. Elisha does follow Elijah. And you know what we hear about him for the next 4 years? Nothing. Nothing. The walk, the preparation. David. People that don't even go to church at all know the David and Goliath story. David and Goliath is used in business. Like, it's a metaphor, it's a story that people get. But do you know what happened before David slays Goliath? When everybody in the Israeli army was like, no, man, not me, can't do it. The king, King Saul wouldn't even go. You know what happened for David before that? David tells us. Come on up, man. We'll do it. David tells us. He said, I'm not afraid of this, he called it uncircumcised Philistine. I'm not afraid of him. You ever fought him? No. But David says, I did do a little number on a bear. And a lion came and took one of the sheep. And this lion and this bear, you read the Bible closely, the lion and the bear weren't like, grr, grr, off to the side, you know, like taunting. David says, when they would take one of the lambs, I would go after them, save the lamb, and if they wanted to walk, that's fine, but the Bible says, if they turned on me, I killed them. I tore them in half. He's 15 years old. Moses is 40. Elisha is probably in his 20s. David is a teenager. He's 15 years old. Before you get to the Goliath, you're going to have a lion. You're going to have a bear. Before you get to doing twice as many miracles as your mentor, Elisha and Elijah, you're going to have 4 years where you're just silently walking, watching with them, present, learning, things growing, coming into us. Moses thinks he's fleeing, and the entire time, that 40 years between 40 years old and 80 years old, he's learning what he needs to know for the calling of God. My prayer today was that this message, brief, be encouraging to you. Be encouraging. If God speaks it and the Spirit is leading, follow it. Follow it. But also recognize that the Spirit can be leading while you're listening, while you're watching, while you're simply present. And you don't want to get there before you're ready. Anybody that's walked with God a minute or two, right? You do not want to show up at game day before you're ready. If the Spirit says you're ready, Spirit says you're ready. But what we're trying to do from this place, just like Jesus, that we are taken by the Spirit. And it can be wherever we're taken, but we're taken by the Spirit. I ask Arnick to just play this simple bridge, which I think many of us know. Hit it.
Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders.
Okay. Isn't that it? So we're talking about. And it's not just a cute rhyme, a jingle, right? Like, Spirit, lead me. As you led this morning, these six people were led by the Spirit today. God is prompting you. He prompts me. He prompts us. Led by the Spirit. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters. Wherever you would call me. Don't you feel that? Don't you want to say yes to that? I mean yes to that. Take me deeper. That my feet would ever even wander. I wouldn't even put myself there. My faith made stronger.
The presence of
my Savior. That is what it is all about. It is all about being in the presence of the Savior. Being connected to the Savior. Walking with Jesus. If you remember one thing today, I hope you remember me and Elena. And Elena walking up here and grabbing my hand. And you know what happened in my heart when she grabbed my hand? It sounded like this. You know the Lord loves it, right? You know the Lord loves when you reach and hold His hand. You know the Lord loves it, right? And you know how He cares for you, right? I hope you do. I hope you know how He cares for you. I hope you know His desire to continue to lead you. Spirit, lead me where? Sing it out. Sing it out. Spirit, lead me.
Let me walk upon the waters.
Let it be a prayer. Let it be a prayer. Come on, sing it out. Just say it. Take me deeper.
Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander.
Jesus, help us believe that. And give us your courage by the Spirit to move into it.
Sing
again, buddy.
Spirit, lead me when my trust is with the borders.
Let me walk
upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever.
My faith
will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior.
Because it's just about trusting Him. It's my encouragement for you today. My encouragement for you today is that you believe. That you believe. And we love Him because He first loved us, right? It's always His prompt first. The fact that you're here is a prompt from Him. The work in your life from the Spirit is a prompt from Him. You can believe this. If I were to ask you the person that gets in your way most often, we all know the answer, don't we? Because we all have the same answer. We literally say the same word. Me. we all say me. As we close today, I just want to pray this over us. Lord Jesus, we know ourselves. We see our failures. We live those things. We know the questions we have. We know the struggles and the thoughts, regardless of the persona that we project. We know those moments, and we all have them. Lord God, the prompt for me now is that we pray together, that we believe you, what you say, more than we believe what we say. We believe in you more than we believe what we feel. Doubt and shame and fear. We believe you and your call, and that your voice and your call overrides our insecurity, overrides our doubt, instability that we carry, the messes of our story, that not just the six beautiful lives that were baptized today, but every soul in this room, everyone knows, realizes the goodness and glory of your calling. Help us reflect you to others. Help us reflect the praises of creation to you. Thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for the impact of these moments and what lives will do from this moment forward. I bless them with your grace and your peace and your strength. May your anointing and spirit fill us, lead us, guide us. Let's sing this one more time in closing. Sing it out as the prayer of closing today.